I'd like to read in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8 tonight. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. And we'll read verse number 36. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, Mark chapter 8 and verse number 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I don't really know of a greater question that is asked in the Word of God. There are many questions that the Bible contains. Some of them are answered. Some of them are not answered. And when a question is not answered in God's Word, it's not that there is not an answer for it. God has spoken so definitely, so clearly, so emphatically. There doesn't have to be any misunderstanding as to what God is saying. But there are times that there are questions asked and the answer is not given. Because these are issues that all of us must come to grips with for ourselves. All of us are going to make choices. All of us are following pathways that are linked with those choices tonight. And what makes this meeting so solemn and so serious is that all of us, are going to come to the ultimate destinies, the ends of those choices. The Lord Jesus' words are so simple. What shall it profit a man? He's speaking generally now. What shall it profit an individual if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I trust that every individual here tonight, starting with the young people at the front, right to the back, and over here in the other part of this hall, might solemnly and personally face this question. What will it profit you if you gain all that you desire? And if you attain all that you want to accomplish, and in the end, ultimately, you lose your own soul. You see, what the Lord Jesus is contrasting here is what is seen, but is only temporary. And he's contrasting that with what is not seen, but which is eternal. We have a hard time with that, don't we? We are so tuned in to what we can see, what we can touch, what we can feel, what we can experience, what we can attain to. It grips us. It has a tremendous effect upon us. This world is visual. This world is a hands-on world. And we are involved with living and with accomplishing things and with setting goals. But this is the ultimate of all issues. This is the ultimate of all questions. And tonight, it's the greatest value that you could ever face. My exercise tonight is just to speak of eternity's values. And you know, one of the great difficulties that we have in this world of ours, in this life of ours, is determining how to set our values. But a year and a half ago, we had sold our house, and I thought it was a good occasion to try and get rid of some excess furniture. You know, there's no point in having to move any more than you have to. And, of course, it's not a matter of being a pack rat, but you just start accumulating things, don't you? And the boxes grow, and the furniture grows, and when I went to Newfoundland, I had everything I owned in the back of my car. Need a semi-trailer to try and move it now. And so I went down to the basement and I saw an old roll-top oak desk that I had purchased as a young man for $20. The roll-top was gone. It had served me for about 23 years very, very well. I'd fix it up, I'd shellacked it and varnished it and painted it and done all kinds of things. But now it was in the way. In fact, it was in pieces. I'd taken it apart. It was kind of one of these big, bulky, roll-top oak desks. And so I decided that alongside of all kinds of other things, I would advertise it in the Saturday paper. Roll-top oak desk, $60. And I thought, well, I sure hope I can get rid of that thing. I should have understood that when the phone started ringing at about 7:15 on Saturday morning, that something was up. First call came. I understand you have a roll-top desk for sale. I said, yes, sir. Is that the right price? Yes, sir. Where do you live? Now, it had snowed that night. Clue number two should have been that there was a big drift in front of the door that I hadn't even cleared away. But within 15 minutes, there was a knock on the door, or the doorbell rang, and a man plowed through the drifts. And when I opened the door, he says, I'm here to see the roll-top desk. And I invited him in. I apologized. I said, oh, sir, I'm going to have to tell you that I haven't even put the roll-top desk together. But I said, I will bring up one of the drawers. So I went downstairs, brought one of the drawers, kind of sheepishly, figuring that he won't be interested. He took one look at the drawer, and he says, I'll take it. My phone didn't stop ringing throughout the day, until finally in the afternoon a man called and he said, roll-top desk? I said, no, sir, it's sold. He said, was that the right price? I said, yes, sir. He said, you got $60 for it? Yes, sir. He said, you could have got $600 for that roll-top desk. He said, I have been looking all over for that kind of a desk. He said, you almost make me cry. And I almost felt like saying, you almost make me cry. What was the problem? I thought I was getting a good deal. I thought, I'm going to be able to get rid of this thing. It's all right. It's solid, but I don't need it anymore. I was glad to get $60 for it. You know what the problem was? I didn't know its value. And you know, tragically, in this building tonight and in this city, there are people and they're looking at your souls, just like my old roll-top desk. Selling it cheap. Paying very little attention to it. Not all that concerned, because you don't know the value of your soul. That's what the Lord Jesus was saying. What shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world? You can put whatever you want in that equation. The world of accomplishments. The world of experience. The world of accumulations. Buy anything. You can have it all. And in the end, lose your own soul. I'd like to ask you tonight, and I trust it will come home to you personally, what value do you put on your soul? And how do you determine the value of the soul? You see, we can't see our souls. And tonight, friend, it's not a matter that God has kind of put some little thing called the soul into our anatomy. Inside here that maybe a surgeon is able to remove. That's not it at all. The Bible tells us that the God of creation formed man from the dust of the earth. Must have been an amazing sight to see the hand of God as a sculptor, as a modeler with the clay, and he formed man in the dust of the earth on the ground. The clay came together. The nose was formed. The sockets for the eyes were hollowed out. The ears were fashioned and put alongside of the scalp. The fingers were delicately put together. And there was that still form, fresh from the mighty hand of God. No life, but created by God. And a moment came when the Bible says God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, we are more than a body. The real person is inside. This is only just the house. This is only a temporary dwelling place for the real person that's inside. And there's a day coming when we will leave this residence. Our sister that we just read the announcement of left her residence for home yesterday at 10 a.m. in the morning. While we mourn her parting, and while it does bring sorrow to our hearts, the real Lorna Barr is in heaven. She wouldn't want to come back. But tonight, all of us are living souls. An existence that will never terminate. We've been made by God. We have been made for God. And tonight, the greatest possession that we have, the greatest reality that we face, is the ultimate and eternal destiny and salvation of our souls. How are we going to determine the value of the soul tonight? There are young people here, and you're going to university or college or high school, and there will be teachers that will ridicule the thought of a soul. We had a young couple come into our meetings. They're PhD students in St. John's, Newfoundland. And they're coming to terms with what the gospel message is all about. They were raised in an atheistic country. Their training included no God. And so I asked them, an Oriental couple from mainland China, I asked the woman, I said, "Song, what happens when you die? Where do you go?" She says, "Nowhere. We just die. That's it." And yet the Bible tells us that our existence is not terminated at the grave. That there is an eternity ahead for all of us. And that's why, friend, this question is so overwhelmingly and so solemn. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? How do we determine the value of the soul? You see, values come with regard to a sense of authority. And tonight, what we have read has come from the lips of the Lord Jesus. The God of heaven has spoken concerning ultimate values. This world tonight places great value on what we can experience, what we can see, what we can gain. And of course, that's exactly what makes this world tick. In fact, all of us are tuned into that world. But one thing we have to face, that all that we enjoy and all that we're involved with tonight is only passing. It's only temporary. Whether you get to the top of the ladder, or whether you go to the far off places of this world, or whether you become the richest individual in Vancouver, there is a day coming when every accumulation, every accomplishment, every ambition will come to an end. And you will leave it all behind. You will leave this world just as you came. You will take nothing with you. Just this past November, I was in the city of Detroit, and one of the interests I had when I was in that city was to go to the residence of the great automaker Henry Ford. At the height of his accomplishments, he had decided to build a house that would be an engineering marvel. He called it Fairlane. And in 1917, I won't go into all the details, in 1917, he spent $1,057,000 on that large 55-room mansion. Mr. Alex Joyce and I got a ticket to go through it, and we were amazed at what we saw. The woodworking was amazing. They brought German workmen over from Germany to do all the carving. The railings, the library, it was just filled with the carvings of those men. That man, of course, just being the engineer that he was, filled that mansion in 1917 with all kinds of things. 550 light switches. A built-in vacuum system. He even had his own power plant that had so much power, turbine run, that it was able to supply power for the city of Detroit. And though it wasn't the most exquisite mansion, yet it was an engineering marvel. But in 1947, that would be 30 years later, there was a storm with torrential rains that came through Detroit. And the Rouge River that was just in the back of that large mansion began to rise. And it kept rising until by nightfall, that water had come up into that power plant, surrounded those large furnaces that were producing the steam to run the turbines. And before that night was out, the water had crept into the furnaces and squelched the fire, and the turbines rolled to the stop, and the lights went out. The ironic part of it all was that very night, when the lights went out, Henry Ford was dying in his upstairs bedroom, and he left this world just the way he came in a cool house that was lit by a candle. We take nothing with us. College degrees, it'll stop at the grave. RSPs, leave them behind. Real estate spreads. We take nothing with us. And as the Lord Jesus described what the world is, passing, temporary, will never satisfy. Some of you have tried that world. Some of you have plugged into that world with a high hand. Though you thought it would light up your lights, though you thought it would really give you a thrill and satisfaction, it has taken all that you give it, and it has given nothing in return except guilt and heartache and sorrow and an empty wallet and short-term friends and long-term misery. The world doesn't give. It takes. The Lord Jesus said, what will it profit a man if you gain the whole world and in the end you lose your own soul? Tell me, if you bow to what the Lord Jesus says, his authority is 100% accurate. But when it comes to values, I believe there's another factor that we must face. Values involve cost, don't they? And tonight I'd like to take you to a place called Calvary. Because you see, it was at Calvary that the true value of our souls was seen in all of its fullness. The very heart of the message that we preach tonight concerning the salvation of your souls is seen at that place of the cross, the place of the skull. Because on that hill there was a man who was bearing shame, who had taken a cross upon his back and walked out willingly to Skull Hill. If we look closely at his face, we see the spit of men on those cheeks. We see a crown of thorns that has been beaten into his brow. We see a back that is running rivers of blood. We see a face that has been pummeled. And the Bible says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The question is, why was he there? Why was he allowing people to handle him like that? Couldn't he have done something about it? Do you understand who that person was? That person was the mighty Creator. He was the one who at the beginning of this creation said, let there be light. There was light. He was the very one that breathed into man the breath of life. He was the same one that came to the side of that ship in that raging storm, and with words of power he said, "Peace, be still." And the sea went flat calm and the wind died. He was the same one that had said at that graveside, "Lazarus, come forth." Was it a lack of power? No, friend, it wasn't a lack of power. In fact, he could have called more than 12 legions of angels, and they would have been instantly there. Why was he standing there? Why was he led as a lamb to the slaughter? Why was he going there as a substitute? My friend, he went to Calvary. The Lord Jesus went to Calvary because of the value of your soul. And tonight, apart from that work, our souls will be lost. Our souls that are so marked and marred by our sin. Condemnation of God for that sin is upon our souls tonight. God says we are condemned already. That's why we need forgiveness. And because of the value of the soul, there was one who came from heaven, and he moved to Calvary. And willingly, he entered into that storm, into that darkness, into that wrath. And he accepted that judgment, that our souls might be saved, and that our sins might be forgiven, and that that great gap between God and man might be bridged, and that there might be a door opened, and that souls might be saved. Oh, friend tonight, that is your greatest need. And yet God has moved in view of that need and provided a remedy, provided a Savior. And at Calvary, we understand the preciousness and the value of our souls. He bore it for us, all for us. Because he desired that no souls would be lost eternally. But tonight, friend, there's a final factor that we should look at. How do we determine the value of things and the value of the soul? Values ultimately involve time. Tonight, I want you to move down the road of your life, however long it may be. When you come to the end, there is a portal called eternity. And all of us one day will step, will take that final step, and will be in eternity. What does eternity involve tonight? Thank God there's a real heaven, a prepared place for prepared people. But tonight, friend, you need to face the fact that there's a real hell. And I'm speaking to some here. And if you were to lose your soul tonight, you would be in hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. I couldn't help but think, as our brother passed along this announcement, that yesterday at 10 a.m., our sister passed into the presence of her Lord. She not only understood the beauty of the Savior, but she came to the full understanding of the value of the salvation of her soul. She could come back to Woodland Drive tonight. You were to ask her, "Is it worth being saved?" She would say 1,000 times yes. And yet, every single moment that we speak, there are souls that are stepping into the great eternal darkness of hell. And if they could come back tonight and stand where I'm standing, and you were to ask them, "Is it with profit to lose your soul?" They would say 1,000 times no. In fact, there's a man in hell tonight, and he is pleading with Abraham to send somebody back to talk to his brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. Tonight, friend, the greatest reality you face is the salvation of your soul. for eternity. It's for forever. And to lose your soul is such a loss that nothing can restore. God help you to be wise in view of eternity and in view of the greatness of God's salvation, that your soul might be saved eternally.